It's a privilege to be with you today. Our topic is courageous faith. There's a lot happening in our world. There are expressions of darkness and evil that seem almost unimaginable. In fact, there seems like there's a new presentation on a daily basis. But I promise you, God is not surprised by what's happening in our world. He's called us to this time and this place, and He's given us everything we need to be triumphant. What He will require of us is courageous faith. That's more than sitting in church faith or being polite faith or singing in the choir faith. That's faith to stand against the darkness and see the name of Jesus lifted up. The Lord will help us. Grab your Bible and a notepad, but most importantly, open your heart. We're talking about courageous faith. And for this particular session, the label is, can't they see? You know, there's a little line that goes off in me. Sometimes I'm watching people make life decisions or make plans, and I'll think, that's really a dumb decision. Can't they see? And I've come to understand, anytime that line goes off in me, can't they see? The answer is no, they can't. No, they can't. Some of you have a gift with colors. You can look at a color palette and you can just tell what will go together. You can tell what will work on the walls and the carpet. Or you can tell with your clothing what colors will go together. It just works for you. It's a gift. And you can look at other people and say, can't they see that doesn't look good together? Then what's the answer? No, I didn't realize I looked ugly. I thought it looked good. Can't they see? Some of you are engineers. You can look at a pile of stuff and know how to put it together, what angles go here and how to make that work. And you can see it before it's constructed. And the rest of us look at it, it just looks like a pile of wood to us. And you think, well, can't you see? No, I can't. Well, the real goal of these weeks together is a presentation to ask the Holy Spirit to bring discernment to our lives so that we can see what God is doing in the earth. Because I think right now, most of the time, we can't see. So that's our target. I want to start with this notion of courageous faith. They're two words that don't usually go together. I don't think we imagine faith requires courage. Most of us that have grown up in and around church didn't require courage of us. Courage requires us to be passive. I mean, church typically requires us to be passive, brain dead sometimes. We just file in, endure it, and file out again. But I want to submit to you, I don't think you will make heaven without courage. So, well, Pastor, I said the sinner's prayer. I haven't got dunked in the pool. I appreciate that. But you won't complete the course without courage. Oh, there's biblical evidence time and time again when God is recruiting significant new leaders, He says to them, be strong and courageous. We're going to need courage to finish the course. I don't want to diminish the new birth or baptism. I don't mean that at all. But I want you to understand the necessity of courage. I brought you some definitions. The meaning of words matters. Words have meaning. We live in an age of unprecedented deception, and that's going to increase. And one of the ways that they're able to multiply that is they keep redefining things. Now, I appreciate the idea, perhaps, but it will lead you to some pretty destructive places. Redefining something doesn't necessarily change the truth. You can call an elephant a hummingbird, but it won't fly and pollinate flowers. You can redefine marriage, but there's something that unique about marriage was God's idea when He said marriage is between a man and a woman. The outcomes that come from that unique relationship aren't duplicated with other arrangements. Family was God's idea. You can redefine family. I understand some of the pressures around that, but the truth is the best outcomes come from family in the way God designed it. Well, in a similar way, courage has a meaning. I brought you the definition. It says it's the ability to do something that frightens, strength in the face of pain or grief. Now, if we didn't know courage was a good thing, we would think that courage was something to be avoided. I mean, if you want your children to ever have to do something that frightens or to have to display strength in the face of pain or grief, you would rather them to be live lives free of courage. If we listen to conventional wisdom, you know what the antonym, the opposite of courage is? Coward. You don't want to raise cowardly children, which means we're raising young people ideally to be able to do things that are frightening, to do difficult things, to be able to persevere, to display strength in the face of pain or even grief. Courage is a good thing. It's going to be a long series. A coward's simply a person who lacks the ability to do things that frighten you. See, courage isn't the absence of fear. If you think because you have fear, you're not courageous, that's not true. It's a lie. Courage is the ability to persevere in the face of fear. The rest of the words around it, I think, are helpful. Discourage, that little prefix, D-I-S, means without. To be discouraged is to be without courage, to deprive of courage. So to be discouraged is more than just being a little blue, having a bad day, bummed out. To be discouraged will rob you of courage. It will diminish the courage you have. Don't welcome discouragement in. Don't tolerate it. Don't give it a place. Don't give yourself the license to enjoy it. It will erode much of what God's inviting you to. To be encouraged, little prefix E-N, means to be with. To be encouraged is to have courage, to give support, confidence, or hope. There are people in your sphere of influence. Some bring discouragement and some bring encouragement. Use wisdom in who you hang out with. Discouragement is the loss of confidence or enthusiasm. Encouragement is the act of giving someone support or confidence. Important words. Now, here's the promise of the Bible. It says that we can lead lives unafraid and filled with courage. That's the way I want to live. How about you? That's my target. Look in Deuteronomy 31. It says, the Lord himself goes before you and he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. You know enough of your Bible by now that if it says do not be afraid and do not be discouraged, it's possible to lead lives that way. When Jesus said do not worry, it's possible to lead a life free of worry. So if he says don't be afraid and don't be discouraged, we can live fearless, courageous lives. 2 Chronicles 20, slightly different context. This time there's a king in Jerusalem and an invading army has approached, and it's an army superior in power and tactics to the army that the Israelites have. So victory is impossible. Defeat seems a certainty. There is an air of discouragement that has settled over Jerusalem and all the inhabitants. And then God sends a word. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Do not be afraid because of this vast army. What do you mean this vast army is a frightening thing? We have good reason to be afraid. You see, courageous faith enables us to make decisions based on something other than just what we can experience with our senses. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Those passages lead me to two very simple conclusions. One is that the truth is not always encouraging. We got to be honest here. The truth is not always encouraging. Sometimes the truth is uncomfortable. Sometimes the truth is unpleasant. Sometimes the truth is just discouraging, right? If you went to a doctor that only told you good news, we'd call that malpractice. I suppose the doctor said, well, you know, I don't really like to bum out my patients, so I just tell them what I think will make them happy. We'd call that malpractice, right? You want a doctor to tell you the truth, even if it's not news you want to hear. You need to hear it so you know what the appropriate protocol is to get to a better place. Well, that's true in your spiritual life. That's true in all areas of your life. Buy the truth, the scripture says, and don't sell it. The truth is not always encouraging. But the second idea to go with that is you can always respond to the truth with courage. Even if the truth is unpleasant or uncomfortable, you can respond to that truth with a willingness to go forward. Now, that's a different set of responses to life. I want to give them to you in a very specific context. There is a tension in our lives between what we see and what we don't see. When God created you, and be certain of that God created you, you're not the result of some human decision. Almighty God called you into existence. The Bible says that Jesus is the author and the completer of your story. When God created you, he made your spirit. And he has entrusted you with an earth suit for your journey through time. You were knit together in your mother's womb. You got an earth suit. It's a temporary assignment. In fact, you have a stewardship assignment for your earth suit. The Bible says that, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Far more concern should be given to the care and the location in which you take the temple of the Holy Spirit than we give to this place, and we work hard to keep this place clean. You know, you understand we have a stewardship assignment for the environment and the world we live in? I believe that. But I believe you have a greater and more primary assignment to the stewardship and care of your physical body. It's a gift that God has given you. And your earth suit comes with some sensory equipment. You have five senses with which to interact with our physical world. You can see and hear and smell and taste and touch. Those are the portals through which you can experience life physically. But those senses, as amazing as they are, and they are truly amazing, they have limits. You know, there is a whole spectrum of sound waves that your equipment isn't designed to receive. You know, there are animals that can hear sounds that you and I can't hear, right? There's a whole spectrum of light waves that, as majestic as your eye and all of the tools that help you process sight, as remarkable as that is, there's a whole band of light waves that you and I cannot see. You ever seen night vision goggles? They're taking advantage of some things that you and I don't have the equipment to do without outside help. So your senses have limits, which puts us in this tension between what we can understand with our physical perception and the greater reality of our lives. Now, you believe in unseen things, far beyond spiritual stuff. How many of you have ever had a cold? How many of you have ever had a cold? About a third of you. Well, bless your hearts, the rest of you. I bet everybody in here has had a cold one time or another. What causes a cold? Well, it's because my kids came home from school and they were coughing and blowing and snorting, and I must have gotten it from them. Or I had a two-hour flight and the person next to me hacked the whole time. Went to the PTA meeting and the lady next to me sneezed on me. I know how I got my cold. Well, those are all delivery systems, but your cold was most likely started by a virus. You ever seen a virus? No, because your eye can't see one. It's smaller than you can identify. You may have seen a picture of one with the help of an electron microscope, and that just looks like a little bump on a page to me. Somebody had to tell me that was actually a virus. I needed the label at the bottom of the picture. I've never really seen one, but I felt the effects of it. And nobody in here feels like I violated your intellectual capabilities because you said you believed in a virus, because science says a virus is real. Well, I'm an advocate for science, but science isn't God. Not too long ago, the most brilliant scientist in the world said the world was flat. Not too long before that, the most brilliant scientist said that the sun orbited around the earth. Science is a continually expanding, growing, learning field. God is omniscient. He knows everything. So what we want to develop is the ability to see as God sees, to see beyond the limits of our physical senses and make decisions based upon that truth. Just like you'll make a decision based upon a cold. If I see you coughing and sneezing and snorting, I'm not going to shake your hand. I love you, but I just love you at a distance. God bless your little pointed head. Hebrews 11:1, you don't have it in your notes, but it says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Certain of what we do not see. This tension between what we see and what we don't. What I'm asking you to do is begin to make increasing life decisions based on something you can't see with your physical eyes. I'm not asking you to be weird or strange. We suffer to a great extent from spiritual blindness.
I'm really excited about the opportunity you have this month. It's a book called An Extraordinary Life. It's my parents' story. It's a journey from being churched pagans to a personal faith to a life that's impacted our world. You'll hear the miracle of their conversion. From a broken, desperate place, God intervened. They started a Bible study in their home. A church came from that. My life has been spent living that out in many ways. There's an opportunity for you in your life. Read the book. Open your heart. God is still inviting people to lead extraordinary lives for Him.
Cancer, I can say looking back that cancer was my best friend, because none of us know how stubborn we are and how we will not give in to God, but He knows how. And I thank God for that pressure.
Put enough pressure on you that us not knowing God personally through Jesus, it put enough pressure on you that you were willing to pray. And you prayed a prayer, as we look back at the whole story that we endured then, you prayed a prayer, which was a key that began to unlock in her life 6 months later. Let me know the truth before I die, because you were, without question, you were a mother that was going to leave three children behind. The doctors had told us 6 months is probably all you have to live. And that was where it wasn't in our understanding, but it was in the plan of God. We got to Mayo Clinic, and after the 2 days of thorough examinations to confirm what the doctor felt was true on the Sunday night we got there, was that she had no disease in her body. There was no answer other than I had my wife, I had my three boys, I knew where we were going.
God can take an ordinary life and transform it into something extraordinary. Read a firsthand account of how this happened in the lives of Pastor Allen's parents in their book, An Extraordinary Life. What started with a simple prayer grew into a faith that impacts the world. It's an inspiring testimony of what's possible when you consistently choose to say yes to the Lord. You can request your copy when you donate $30 or more today at allenjackson.com or by calling 800-880-5102. Thank you for coming alongside our ministry. And we hope reading the Jackson story opens your mind to what's possible when you choose to follow God.
John chapter 9 is one of my favorite miracle stories in Jesus' ministry. Jesus meets a man born blind. They're in Jerusalem. I put it in your notes. I just gave you the first two verses for the setup. It says, as Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. It's an important note. The man's been blind from birth. He didn't have an injury or an accident. He's never seen. We don't know the cause of that, but he doesn't need healing. He needs a creative miracle. Something's missing. Either he didn't have retinas in his eyes, or his nervous system was not right, or he didn't have eyes themselves. I don't know what's there. We're not told in the Gospels. We're just told he's never seen. He's never seen a blue sky or a bird fly or a flower bloom. Blind from birth. And his disciples ask him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? What a happy, happy question. I mean, absolutely no concern for the person whatsoever, right? It's like they're on a learning expedition and people are not really expressions of the grace and mercy of God. They're just objects. Can you imagine walking up and saying, you know, I don't wonder why Carrie's blind. Just because he's such a wicked sinner, or his parents were even more wicked than he is. I mean, that's not really like an affirming conversation for Carrie, is it? And Jesus said, you asked the wrong question. It's not about that at all. But he said, if you'll watch, you'll see the glory of God. Now, this man, the blind man in this story, he doesn't ask for anything. He doesn't ask for a miracle. He doesn't ask for healing, nothing. Jesus intrudes. It says he makes mud, smears it on the man's face, and says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And you need a little local knowledge. They're in the upper part of the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a city built on hills, and Siloam is at the bottom of the hills. Conservatively, I would imagine it's at least a half a mile walk one way to where that pool is. Jesus just smeared mud on a blind man's eyes and said, take a half a mile hike and wash it off. Think of all the ways that man could have responded. He could have been indignant. He could have been angry. He could have been offended. He could have called Bart Durham. Right? He has a legally actionable offense. I've been mocked by a preacher. And inexplicably, we're not given any reason for it, he decides to take Jesus' instructions. And it says he went and washed the mud off in the pool of Siloam. And then the Bible, with this beautiful gift for understatement, says the man came home seeing. Isn't that sweet? He was born blind. You know, he came home seeing. Well, bless his heart. I don't think that's how it's happened. I don't think he came home seeing. Do you? I think he came home seeing. What do you think? He said, you know, your hair didn't sound white to me. And you know what? Your voice was thinner than you are.
you sound so pretty. I think he came home seeing. And I think it was no accident that Jesus had him walk a half a mile up that hill through that city. Do you know God is really smart? He's strategic. Sometimes we treat God like he's a dummy. How many of you ever argued with God? I can't do that. That doesn't make any sense. Now, if something doesn't make sense to you and it's God's instruction, who do you think got it right? Now, for those of you engaged in that argument with God today, may I encourage you to cooperate with him? The man came home seeing. It stirs the whole city. There's a lot of commotion around it. Even the religious leaders get involved. In fact, they bring the man to the religious leaders. The reason I think it was more of a creative miracle is it doesn't seem to be just some minor event in this man's life. He's known, and everybody understood he couldn't see, and now he's seeing. Something beyond just an adjustment has happened. And they bring him to the religious leaders. They say, how'd this happen? And he said, well, somebody named Jesus put mud on my eyes and told me to go wash in Siloam, and I washed. And they said, well, who is he? And he said, I don't know. I didn't see him. And they say, well, it couldn't have been Jesus. He's a sinner. And sinners can't do this. And he said, look, I don't know if he's a sinner or not, but I could see you. And they said, if you keep this up, we're going to put you out of the temple. Now, that's serious because he's going to lose access to his community, to his means of worship, to his relationships. It's the core of who he is. He said, you keep this up, we'll put you out. And the man has to make a choice if he's going to believe Jesus and receive the benefits of this, what's come with that, or he's going to maintain his traditions. You and I'll make that same decision. Following Jesus will bring you to those forks in the road. People will say, don't tell me that about Jesus. I know that's not right. I don't know what's happened to you, but I know that's not right. Then you're going to have to make some decisions too. And this man gets it right. He said, well, let me lie to you. I can tell you what I know. I was blind and I can see. I'm going with him. That's where we step back into your notes. It's really the back end of the story. You can read that whole chapter at your leisure later on. In verse 35, Jesus heard that they had thrown him out of the temple. And when he found him, I love that, Jesus went looking for this man. When he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the man said, well, who is he? Tell me so that I may believe in him. And Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking with you. And the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. I bet he did, don't you? Think he had any trouble with worshiping Jesus? Do you know why we're reluctant worshipers? We don't really believe he's done much for us. We don't think we really had a great need. We didn't have a lot to forgive. We weren't really that broken. We kind of imagine really God got a pretty good bargain when he recruited us. And it makes us reluctant worshipers. If you're still learning to worship, I would remind you that God has changed our lives. We have reason to give thanks and glory and honor to him. He worshiped him. Jesus said, for judgment I've come into this world so that the blind will see and those who see will become blind. Now he's not talking about physical healing any longer. He's talking about spiritual sight. He said, I came into this world so that the blind can see. Jesus came into your life and into my life. The new birth was intended to help us see with something beyond just our physical eyes. There is a spiritual world that is more real than the physical universe in which we are currently passing through. How do I know that? Well, the Bible says God is a spirit. And in Genesis chapter 1, it says God created the heavens and the earth, that the Spirit of God gave rise to the physical world in which we live. And the Bible says that this world and everything that's in it will pass away. But God's eternal. I'm not opposed to the material physical world. It's not evil or wicked or wrong. It's just temporary. And the reason Jesus came into the world was to give to those who would believe in him the ability to see the unseen. We're going to see with the eyes of faith. It's going to take some courage. There are many forms of blindness. You can be blind to things around you, unaware of them, unconcerned of them. Well, I would submit to you that spiritual blindness is a very serious problem within the contemporary church. We understand worship. We have our Bibles. We know our rules and our traditions. We know the things we prefer and the things we don't like and the seat we want to sit in and the parking place that we believe should belong to us. But in many, many instances, we have been blind to spiritual things. We simply don't see them. We have had a limited awareness of spiritual things. One of my favorite phrases in the Bible is, now I see. Now I see. Now is a timing word. Now. What's now mean? Now. If I said to you, I'm going to give you all the cash in my pocket now. Later. You understand what now means. It means now. So when I say now I see, implied in that is a moment ago, I didn't see so well. It wasn't that clear to me. Now I see. We just did the John 9, the healing story. In your notes, you've got in John 9, 24. It says, a second time they summoned the man who'd been blind. Give glory to God, they said. We know this man is a sinner. And he replied, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know. I was blind, but now I see. I'm going with the sinner if this is what he does. That's what's fully implied. I've been hanging with you guys for a long time. Up until today, I'd been all in with you, and I'd been blind the whole way. And I met this Jesus character, and now I see. Watch me follow. That's my story.
Hey, we are walking through a season of deception, but I have good news. Jesus opened blind eyes. I believe he will give us the insight and the understanding we need to see through the clouds of deception and understand the truth in our generation. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'll give us understanding hearts and the wisdom to recognize what is true and what is false, that we might choose you in every circumstance. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
We are committed to helping you grow in your faith and have tools for your journey no matter your schedule. Get daily encouragement and insight with Pastor Allen's daily devotion right in your inbox. Just sign up on the website. Join us on one of our live stream services right from your TV using the Allen Jackson Ministries app. Listen to a powerful message through your favorite podcast app, perfect for a commute. And make sure to follow Pastor Allen on social media to stay up to date with everything happening here with Allen Jackson Ministries.